If I told you there's a guaranteed way to save tens of thousands of dollars, would you be interested? Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, there is a way to do it. It's not complicated, and just about anybody can do it. All you have to do is pay off your mortgage early. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. When you think about it, the amount of interest you pay over the life of a 30-year mortgage should be plenty of incentive to pay off the loan as fast as possible. Let's say you take out a $250,000 30-year mortgage at 7%, which is about the going rate now. At the end of that term, you'll have paid almost $350,000 in interest alone, making the true cost of the home closer to $600,000. But let's say with 25 years to go, you decide to put an extra $250 a month against the principal. That will actually shave off 6 years and 10 months worth of payments and save you just over $83,000 in interest. So the potential payoff for getting rid of your mortgage early is huge, and it really needs to be a priority in your financial decision-making. There are four steps to getting there. First, you need a spending plan. Not just because it's a good idea and everyone should have one, which is true. You need a budget because you can't start the process of accelerating your mortgage payments without one. And setting up your spending plan is now easier than ever with the FaithFi app. It uses a digital envelope system to make budgeting easy. It will also track your spending and reveal things you can cut out to free up more cash. Download the FaithFi app wherever you get your apps. Here are a few budget-cutting ideas, by the way. Dump your cable or satellite service and go with the streaming package. You can probably save $50 or $100 a month just doing that. Take a break from eating out. Try to go a month making all your meals at home. You'll probably save a few hundred dollars at a minimum. Finally, see how long you can go without buying new clothes. That would probably save you many hundreds of dollars as well. You can probably come up with some great ideas yourself to save money that you can then apply to your mortgage. Once you know how much extra cash you have to put on your mortgage, you can make it a budget category all by itself. Remember, even $100 a month applied to the principal on your mortgage will shave off a few years of payments. So you'll want to put as much as possible into that mortgage payoff category. You may start to feel deprived because you've cut out a lot of your fun spending. It helps to celebrate milestones along the way, a special dinner out maybe, whenever you've paid off another $1,000 in mortgage principal. Just keep celebrating within the budget. Now, the next step is something anyone can do, even if you've been thinking up to this point that you have no surplus cash to put on the mortgage. It's using money that comes your way outside of your normal paycheck. Some call it found money or mad money. Make a commitment to put that unexpected cash on your mortgage principal, as well as the surplus money from your budget. Where does this extra money come from? Well, it could be just about anywhere. Overtime pay or a work bonus. Money from work you do on the side, a tax refund, gift money, or cash you get from selling stuff. The trick is to apply that money to your mortgage principal as soon as you get it. Don't think of it as mad money that you can spend any way you like. Don't let it sit around tempting you. If you haven't set up an online account with your lender, do that now. Most lender websites now make it easy to apply extra payments to the principal just by clicking a button or two. And while you're logged in, you'll be able to see the running balance of your principal. Keep track of it. Watch it go down faster as you make extra payments. That'll help you stay motivated and, again, celebrate your progress. This isn't something you want to delay. The sooner you start, the more money you'll save, and that's money you can put to better uses. Be patient. You're in this for the long run. Proverbs 21:5 says, "Slow and steady plodding brings prosperity." Oh, and by the way, in addition to all the interest you'll save, having that mortgage paid off by the time you enter retirement will ensure that you can meet your bills with your monthly income in retirement. This is your biggest expense. So when you eliminate it, it's going to help you balance the budget that much easier in this season of life where income is at a premium. Okay, we hope that helps you get started today on your early mortgage payoff plan. Let us know how it's going. We'd love to hear from you in our FaithFi community. You'll find it in the FaithFi app. Download it on our website. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Everybody loves a good comeback story. Sports fans get a kick out of the small market team beating the teams with the most money. We don't expect it, but when it happens, it's a pleasant surprise. There was once a godly woman named Hannah. She was a barren woman, but nonetheless faithful. After the Lord promised her a child, she composed a magnificent song which reads, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor." Hannah was singing about a comeback story. Just as no one expected Hannah to conceive, no one anticipated the poor sitting with princes. But that's what happens for all those who trust in Christ Jesus. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. Our lines are open and we're ready to go. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing, whatever you're dealing with today financially, we'd love to talk about it. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we've got lines open right now for you. A couple of emails. These come into us every week at AskRob@FaithFi.com. This comes from a curious parent who writes, "What kind of credit card would be good for a 14-year-old? One that money can be put on and there's a limit? Is there any reputable company that offers one?" I think first you have to decide, am I looking for a debit card or a credit card? Obviously, if it's a debit card, a little more control there because they can't spend beyond what's on deposit unless it's a secured credit card, although most folks are, when they're asking about a credit card, are thinking of the unsecured variety. One that's very effective, I think, is the Capital One Money Card. They have a great smartphone app, a lot of great parental controls, but that is is a debit card. Now, if you're looking for a true credit card, they have to be 18 to get a credit card in their own name. And that's true even for a secured credit card. This is because the credit card agreement is a legal contract. Now, you can, and be careful how you use this if you do, you can make a child an authorized user on your credit card as early as age 13. Now, why would you do that? Well, even if you don't ever let them have or take possession of the card itself or even know the card number, this could help them build their credit history. It won't teach responsibility, so be careful with that, but you're still managing the card. They're just inheriting your credit data. Now, that goes both ways. Your positive data flows through to their credit report, which again helps them build credit, and that's what a lot of parents are looking for. Your negative information will flow through as well. So if you happen to miss a payment, you happen to get a balance up over 30% of the limit, that's not really great credit that you're transferring to their credit file, so just be careful there. Many banks do allow you to get a debit card for children as young as 13 for use with a joint checking account that's also in your name. If you allow the child to manage the account, this could provide him or her with an opportunity to gain that experience and learn responsibility. And obviously, anytime we're using tools like this in these ages, before they leave home, and even as young adults, we're wanting to use them as training opportunities because, as you well know, if they don't understand the dangers of debt, they don't understand the proper way to handle money, well, you could be setting them up for disaster. So just be careful there. I would also encourage you to really reinforce alongside the financial literacy side of this, the biblical worldview of money as well. They need to understand not only how to set up a budget, the dangers of debt, the importance of compounding, working for them and potentially against them. You know, all of these things are critical, but it's also important that they understand God owns it all and we're stewards and money is a tool and that money can compete with God for first place in our lives. That's what God's word says. And they need to understand the deceitfulness of riches and that it really can't satisfy despite what the world would tell us, and that they need to be careful of getting caught up in the comparison trap, which can lead to a taking on and spending money we don't have, taking on a lot of debt. So all of these things need to be taught alongside the financial literacy. But if we do both, then we can prepare future adults to manage God's money wisely, make good decisions, and be set up for a lifetime of using money the way it was intended, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, which can lead to great joy as we enjoy what God has given us. We use it to bless others and meet their needs, the people on our path, and to invest in eternity. I hope that's helpful for you today as you think about how you can equip your kids to be wise and faithful stewards. All right, another email. This one comes to us from Janet. She writes, "Hi, Rob. I've heard you mention Larry Burkett marked all the verses in the Bible concerning finances. Does anyone publish this Bible? Thank you for your ministry to the body of Christ." Janet, it's a great question. Larry certainly did have some resources on this. But there is actually a Bible. Now, one interesting thing that my friend Howard Dayton, the former host of this program, did early in his ministry as he was transitioning out of the real estate industry, he was in a men's Bible study. And this is where not only did he come to faith, but he really began to explore the scriptures as a new believer around money. And ultimately, it's what led him to feel the call from the Lord into full-time ministry and started Crown Financial Ministries. Well, Howard, in those early days in a men's Bible study, they decided they were going to go through the Bible and look for every verse that dealt with money and possessions. Now, a little kind of fun anecdote to this. Howard was the new believer. The other gentleman that was doing this with him was a more seasoned believer. And so when the assignments were given, the more seasoned believer said to Howard, "Well, let's just split it up. You take the Old Testament, I'll take the New." Obviously, Howard got a lot more of the responsibility there. But nevertheless, what they did was they went through the Bible and literally with scissor cut out every passage in the Bible related to money and possessions. They stacked them up over a number of weeks. They counted them up, and 2,350 verses later, they had all of their passages related to money, and they organized them by category. And so, obviously, that's where that number comes from, and Howard's done a lot of teaching and writing on it. Larry, of course, did as well. Now, there is a Bible, Janet, to your question, that actually highlights every one of these passages. It was developed in partnership with the American Bible Society and our friends at Compass, Finance is God's Way, and it's called the Financial Stewardship Bible. You can search for it and wherever you buy books. I would suspect you'll be able to find it. Again, it's by Compass and American Bible Society. It's called the Financial Stewardship Bible. It's a beautiful Bible. All of those verses are highlighted in green. There's a 71-page study section to help you go deeper. There's a 40-day financial stewardship devotion that you can go through. There's a topical index. It's in the CEV version, which is the contemporary English version of the Bible, so it's an easy read. There's a lot of practical suggestions in there as well. So if that's something you're interested in, perhaps you want to renew your mind and begin to explore all of the passages related to money as you lean into this area of biblical stewardship, well, the Financial Stewardship Bible could be exactly what you're looking for. All right. In just a moment, we're going to begin to take your phone calls today. By the way, if you have an email you'd like to send along, do that at askrob@faithfi.com. Again, that's askrob@faithfi.com. We'd be delighted to take that. Now, we will be taking your calls in just a moment. So this is the time to call in if you have a financial question or conundrum today. Perhaps there's been something you've been wrestling with over the weekend. Maybe it's related to your spending plan or your debt repayment. Maybe you want to give more wisely. You'd like to give out of your IRA without recognizing that as income. Well, there's a way to do that. You want to think about maybe a charitable gift annuity. We've talked about that many times on this program. Maybe you'd like to use a donor advised fund to sell or to give away an asset before you sell it so that you don't have any capital gains, which you can do for stocks and real estate, a very effective tool. Or maybe it's just how to navigate this stock market, especially given that it's been under some pressure as of late. We can deal with any of that and more. The number to call, and we'll be taking your questions here in just a moment, is 800-522-7000. You can call right now, again, 800-525-7000. A quick break and back with much more. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and stick around. We'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're going to be taking your calls here in just a moment on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Markets starting out a bit mixed. S&P trying to stay in positive territory, although it seems like we're going to be turning negative here any moment. The Dow Jones down about 120 points right now. NASDAQ in positive territory by a half of 1%. It's been a, the market's been under some pressure as of late. We've had several losing weeks. Bob Dahl will stop by today in our final segment to weigh in on the markets and give us his take on all of it. Why is the market selling off? What should we be looking at? He'll give us an update on the housing market. Since the beginning of the pandemic, housing values have pushed up household wealth by $12 trillion. Stocks have pushed up wealth by $7 trillion. Well, with home affordability down, housing values need to be watched pretty carefully. So we'll get Bob's take on that. We've also heard a lot of talk about an inverted yield curve. What is that? And why is that forecasting a recession, perhaps more than even a mild recession in the next year? Bob will weigh in on that. That's all coming a little later in our program today as Bob Dahl stops by to weigh in on the markets and the economy. We'll look forward to that. We'll take your questions as well. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You can call right now. Hey, some rules for borrowing for you. You know, as we think about managing money God's way, one of the keys for us is to really understand that we want to limit the use of borrowing. We want to borrow in a way that's wise. Now, when we look at Scripture, we don't see borrowing as a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture. We know the relationship changes when we borrow. The borrower's servant to the lender. We know that when we borrow, it was considered a curse in many cases in God's Word. And so we just want to be careful as to not allow borrowing to cause us to miss out on what God has for us. And so I think establishing some healthy rules and guidelines for when to borrow and when not to can be really helpful to us. First of all, we have to recognize that borrowing always mortgages the future. And therefore, and here's the first rule, the economic return must be greater than the economic cost whenever we're borrowing. So what does that look like? Well, think borrowing for a business, perhaps. Think borrowing to buy a home. These are productive uses as long as they're done properly, where we're not creating too much debt service that puts pressure on the budget unnecessarily. These should be appreciating assets. And so that's a productive use of leverage or debt. We don't want to borrow for consumer or lifestyle spending. Obviously, we want to try to avoid borrowing for a car if we can help it. Oftentimes, especially with the prices of cars these days, we have to do that one. We certainly don't want to borrow for lifestyle spending, just day-to-day expenses. So only only use borrowing to the extent you can where there's an economic return greater than an economic cost. Second, never presume upon the future. Therefore, and here's the second principle, there must always be a guaranteed way to repay what is borrowed. So think borrowing where there's a collateral that we could then liquidate and sell to pay it off. We want to have a guaranteed way to repay. This is the idea that we see in Scripture of surety, and we want to be only borrowing when we know how we're going to pay it back. The third idea is that God gave you a spouse to complete you, not to frustrate you. Therefore, and here's the third principle, spouses must be in complete agreement when we're borrowing. If you and your spouse are not on the same page with regard to debt and borrowing, well, that's a time to at very least push the pause button and say, I'm not going to proceed. I want to be sure that we're on the same page. And if that's the case, and we're not, then we're going to pass on it or at least delay it until we have unity in this area. And then third, never deny God an opportunity to provide. So therefore, and here's the fourth principle, there really needs to be no other alternatives before you borrow. But here's the reality, folks, that when we follow these principles, the economic return is greater than the economic cost, and there is a guaranteed way to repay. And as spouses, we're in complete agreement. And we're only borrowing when there are no alternatives, then ultimately what we have is, I think, an opportunity to put ourselves in the best position to experience God's best as it relates to our role as stewards of His resources. So be careful. You know, this whole area of debt can be really problematic, and we're seeing that right now. I mean, we know the latest data is telling us that credit cards, well, they're the highest they've ever been now, $1.03 trillion owed, and that's with a T. I know that's hard to believe, and yet that is the latest data. And with the average interest rate on credit cards now at 20%, that's just the average. Obviously, that's putting a real problem on the average family. That's on top of high inflation, which is why, in many respects, we're seeing the debt levels that we are. And keep in mind, we're resuming student loan payments, which is going to put a squeeze on folks' budgets that have had this hiatus from having to make student loan payments. And as a result, now their budget's going to be even further underwater. So we just have to be really careful there. By the way, if you are in credit card debt, and I would say the number is right around $4,000 or more, I would contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to help you lower those interest rates, get on a level monthly payment that will allow you to pay this off 80% faster. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. What about those below $4,000? Well, if that's the case, you can pay that yourself by what's called snowballing the debt. That just means you line them up smallest to largest balance, pay the minimums on all of them. But once you free up margin from your budget, and that means you got to go back to that budget, cut back where possible, take all the surplus that you have, and let's attack that smallest balance. Once that's gone, that's going to give you the momentum, the progress, the celebration to keep going psychologically right down the line. So take all that money and put it on the next smallest balance and keep going until you're done. Less than $4,000, that's a great way to do it. Just snowball it. More than $4,000, ChristianCreditCounselors.org is my preferred way to get out of debt. All right, we're going to take your calls just around the corner. Lines are open. We're ready for you. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Lines are open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl stops by with his market analysis and commentary. But let's head to the phones. Denise is in Arkansas. Denise, how can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to be paying off my mortgage in the next couple months. And I wanted to know if title lock insurance is something I should consider, or is it just a waste of money?
Yeah, it is not something you need to consider in our view. Title insurance, something completely different, is what you will be required to take out when you purchase a home that is for the lender to protect them and for you as well. But title lock insurance really is a misnomer. It's not insurance at all and not really worth the money. What most folks do if they are concerned about this is to set up an alert with their county deeds office in case someone attempts to change the deed. But essentially, if someone were to fraudulently change the deed out of your name into theirs, and then they were to take out a loan against it, and then that loan were not to be paid, and they were to attempt to foreclose on it, well, they wouldn't be able to because it was fraudulent in the first place. You're still the rightful owner to that property, and there's nothing that this title lock essentially does to prevent that you can't do yourself because, again, when fraud is occurring, it's fraud at the end of the day. So really, this is about notifying you if something were to be changed with regard to your deed, and you don't need to pay somebody to do that. You should be able to log in online to verify that your deed is updated or is accurate. And if it changes, that's where these alerts can come in, and more counties are offering this service. So from my viewpoint, Denise, this is an unnecessary expense.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, let me ask you, it looks like you said, I think just in the next few months, you're going to be paying off that mortgage. Congratulations. What was the key did you find to being able to do that? Have you all just really prioritized sending extra payments along the way, or how have you been able to accomplish that?
Several years ago, I received a windfall of cash, and so okay. I refinanced to 15 years. And then I've been putting extra money towards the principal as I could. So
yeah, That's great. Well, congratulations. It sounds like it. And you will be delighted once that's done. So that's awesome. Well, we appreciate you calling today. If we can serve you in any way in the future, let us know. 800-525-7000. I've got two lines open today taking your questions on anything financial. Let's head to Darla, a first-time caller also in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering if you have bought a car, you've paid it off, how many years do you keep that car on full coverage before you change it to liability?
Yes, it's a great question. So what you're talking about is the collision and the comprehensive insurance. Do you have a loan on this car?
No, I paid it off probably a year and a half after I bought it. It was a 2016. I bought it in 2017, and I paid it off in 2018.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so, you know, the general rule of thumb is you take the car's value, you subtract the deductible, and then, you know, basically, you know, if you get, and then you take away the cost of the six-month policy. And if you get a negative amount, chances are it's not worth paying for a comprehensive policy. And you'd have to contact your insurance company to talk about that. Collision insurance, you know, the most common scenario is, you know, you have a major crash or collision, being hit by another driver, something like that. If you can afford to pay for it, I think it's a good thing. What is the value of this vehicle?
It's probably about $15,000-$16,000 right now.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, so this is, I mean, a significant asset. You know, right. The other rule of thumb here is, you know, when you, you drop it when the vehicle's premium plus the deductible is more than 10% of the vehicle. So for you, that'd be $1,500. So if you were to say, okay, what is the deductible? And then you look at the 12-month collision portion of that premium. And if the two of those are above 10%, or in your case, $1,500, you know, then that would be when you might want to consider dropping it. Some experts also recommend dropping it when a vehicle is more than 10 years old. That would be another rule of thumb there. But, you know, if you can afford it, it fits into your budget. You know, it's never a bad idea to have it. But if you, you know, are running tight and one of these two rules applies, then I think that's where you'd be, you know, wise to consider dropping at least that portion. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome.
You and I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you, Darla. We appreciate you calling very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. Hi, Esther. You go right ahead. How can we help you?
Okay. I live in Louisiana, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana wants to change from a medical insurance, mutual insurance company to a stock insurance company. What do you think about that, for or against? And I have a whole proxy envelope, and I'm supposed to sign for or against.
Yes. And so, yeah, I would want to know a bit more about that. I'd want to read a bit more. I mean, the main difference is ownership. So a stock issuer is a corporation owned by its shareholders. A mutual insurance company is owned by the policyholders. You know, so the main disadvantage of the, you know, mutual insurance company is the mutual policy insurance policyholders. You know, they have the right to vote on the company's management, but many people don't. And the average policyholder really doesn't know, you know, they aren't well versed enough to know what makes sense for the company. And they have less influence than institutional investors. So I wouldn't say at face value, you know, it's necessarily important to stay. You're currently as a mutual insurance company and they want to convert it to stock insurance. Is that right?
Yes, sir. It's Louisiana Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay. Yeah. So I wouldn't have any issue with that. I think if it were me, I would probably vote to make the change. There are pros and cons, you know, both ways. And so, you know, ultimately there's not a right or wrong answer here. But, I think when the shareholders, are in control, they're going to always vote, you know, based on their best interest, whereas the policyholders are often less engaged and therefore don't really know kind of what the best decisions are. And so I think that transition is probably a good thing at the end of the day, if it were me.
You think so? Okay. And
yes,
we're
ma'am.
Just the policyholders and we don't have as much say so as the stockholders.
That's correct. That's right. But keep in mind, the shareholders have money on the line. And so they have a vested interest in making sure that decisions are made with regard to financial stability of the company and, in its best interest. Whereas policyholders are often, once they've got their policy, they're not really thinking about what the best thing is for the company moving forward. And so I think that's why at the end of the day, you'll have shareholders with a vested interest making decisions and voting on behalf of what's best for the company. And so that's why I'd be in favor of it if it were me. Esther, thanks for your call today. Back with much more just around the corner. Stay with us.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. We'll have room for a few more phone calls before the end of the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. But first, each Monday, we're joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And you can sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, his weekly market commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, good morning to you. Bob, are you with us? All right, it looks like we're having some trouble with Bob's line. Let me try one more time. Bob, are you able to hear me? All right, we'll see if we can get that fixed and get Bob on in just a moment. We're going to be talking today with Bob, if we can get him on, about his commentary for the week. You know, sentiment, that is market sentiment, the sentiment of actual investors, has quickly become more downbeat as of late. Obviously, the market has been under some pressure, largely because of the upward pressure on rates, the skepticism about any explicit near-term signals from the Federal Reserve that they've reached the top of their rate hikes, concerns about just the prospect of U.S. growth and its resiliency. We've also got a weak China, which spills over into our economy as well. You put all that together and the consumer, which seems to be increasingly under pressure, especially with rising interest rates and high debt levels. We're looking at what may have been, or at least some thought might be, a soft landing here by the end of the year, perhaps a more prolonged recession. And so a lot to think about and talk about as we evaluate the markets and look at the economic data that's coming out. Obviously, a lot of folks very concerned about their 401ks and IRAs, but also just the overall health of the economy in terms of wages and job availability and whether or not we are going to hit a recession here. So we'll unpack all of that if we can talk to Bob Dahl today and have a chance to get his take on it. I think he is ready. Bob, are you with us? Hey, Bob,
yes,
are you
sir.
There? All right, good deal. We couldn't hear you there for a moment, but we can now. So that's all that matters. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Hope you and team are as well.
We are doing very well. Bob, give us an update. I was just saying, it's amazing how quickly sentiment changes, and we've clearly seen a shift in sentiment because of all of these converging factors, many of them not looking as rosy as they did even a month ago.
Yeah, or you might say it a different way. People were looking through the glasses as rose-colored and missed some of these things that have been around for a while. Interest rates have been moving up. Is the Fed really done? Might the Fed have to go again? Maybe growth's a little on the strong side and inflation's not going to back off. What about China? It seems awfully weak. And these things kind of weigh on people, particularly when P.E. ratios are above 20. When valuations are like that, Rob, most things need to be near perfect to justify those prices. And so people are asking questions, and that's given us a roughly 5% sell-off in equities from the peak just a couple of weeks ago.
All right. Bob, as you look out just between now and year end and then into 2024, what's just kind of your best assessment on where we're headed? And if we do hit a recession here, do you feel like it could be deep, perhaps deeper than some expected?
I don't think it's going to be deep. But the real question, as you know, Rob, is are we going to have one or not? And that's caused a lot of people, because it hasn't shown up, to say, I guess we're not going to have one. And our view is those unpredictable lags from the Fed raising rates at the fastest pace in history still yet has to be felt. So I think stocks, having made more progress than almost anybody thought this year so far, are going to mark time, go sideways, consolidate, whatever words you want to use. The easy half with 2020 hindsight will be the first half. I think it's going to be hard to make money in the second half.
Yeah. Bob, so much talk about this idea of an inverted yield curve. So not to get too technical, but would you explain to our listeners what that means and why that's at least historically been a predictor of recessions?
Certainly. Most of the time, the yield curve is positively sloped. That means that out in time, maturities on bonds have a higher interest rates than the shorter maturities.
Sure.
And that makes a whole lot of sense. The Fed and 90-day T-bills, lower rates than a 10 or a 30-year Treasury. We've been inverted. The short end's been higher yields than the back end. And that's usually a function of central banks raising rates to fight a problem, in this case, inflation. And when you get that inversion, that's often a signal, a lead indicator to economic problems, notably a recession. That's why it's on our list of things to be concerned about.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish today with housing and the banking sector. Start first with housing. You noted in your deliberations this week a research study that estimated that housing values have pushed up household wealth by $12 trillion. With home affordability down, what does that mean for housing values moving forward?
And that means we got to keep a careful eye on it. In other words, a lot of people are feeling good about their wealth because their home prices moved up so much, not to mention stocks, which have given investors about half the gain that houses have. So if house values stop going up or turn around and go down, and with rapidly rising interest rates and mortgage rates, that's a cause for some concern.
Okay. What about the latest on the banks, Bob? I mean, obviously, we thought we were through that little rough patch, you know, that was somewhat isolated to a few regional banks. And then we had this downgrade. I know you're looking at the fact that we may have even more downgrades on banks. Anything to be concerned about there?
Yeah, I'd say a couple of things. As you know, Fitch downgraded some banks not that many weeks ago. And a few months prior to that, they gave a warning, which not a lot of people have paid attention to. And now they're warning again that there might be commercial real estate issues that cause them to have to downgrade more banks. So I think we've got to keep our eye on that. Look, if we have a recession, commercial real estate will be among the problems in that recession.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, we appreciate you stopping by as always, Bob. You bring us great insights, and I know we're at somewhat of a critical juncture here globally with the financial markets, and so this is something we'll keep a close eye on. We appreciate your insights.
My pleasure.
All right. God bless you. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Let's head back to the phones. I think Robert wants to weigh in Louisiana on this question we tackled earlier about a mutual insurance company versus stock. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I am a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy holder, and basically I just don't pay attention to what's going on. Now, the discussion you had earlier, a mutual, and Blue Cross is now mutual, if yeah. I understood the call right. And now the powers that be in the company want to convert to stock. Well, that got my antennas up, especially after COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, in the mutual, well, in stock, the stockholders own the company, and their interest is the self-interest. Let's make as much money as we can, which is code for let's deny as much coverage as we can. And if the in a mutual company, if the insured policy owners run the company, they're going to run it in their own best interest. But how do they assert their ownership rights?
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, that's through, you know, a stock company. You're exactly right. You've got outside shareholders that are co-owners of the firm. In a mutual, the policyholders are co-owners of the firm. And, you know, basically in a service company, they're going to vote in their best interest for, you know, making sure that their needs are met. And so, you know, with the mutual company, they're focused on, you know, the cost coverage and also making sure that the policies are going to be paid out well. And that they're going to be served well. Obviously, as you said, the stockholders are going to make sure that the company is performing well. And their, you know, primary means by doing that is by proxy voting and, you know, other initiatives, putting issues on the ballot to be able to vote for the future of the company. So I think you're exactly right. You know, ultimately, if you're a policyholder, a mutual type ownership structure is going to be in your best interest, you know, versus the stock ownership structure. And so I think it really just is, you know, looking at the perspective of whether or not you're a policyholder or whether or not you're a stockholder and, you know, want the stock to perform for you well over time really is going to be, you know, driving the breakdown of which is better depending upon which role that you're in. Robert, we appreciate you weighing in on the program today, sir. God bless you. Thanks for being a part. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got room for looks like we're out of time, unfortunately. So do really appreciate so many of you being a part of the program today. And we've been able to cover a lot of ground here. Here's the bottom line, folks. You know, as we think about how we manage money, we want to go back to God's word and we want to look at those principles and passages. And they boil down to some simple ideas. Once we know that God owns loans at all, then ultimately we want to live within our means. We want to control or avoid the use of debt. We want to set long-term goals, have some margin, and then we want to give generously because giving breaks that grip of money over our lives. It changes our perspective and I think recalibrates our hearts to the Father. And when we do that, well, we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. And that's ultimately what we want. Now, does that mean we're not going to have any trials along the way? Absolutely not. We will have difficulty in this world, but we will know that we've done our part to be that wise and faithful steward. And I think that's really the key. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry have been serving us really well today. Thank you for being along with us as well. By the way, if you'd like to read more about how you can apply God's wisdom to your financial life, check out our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.